Good to be. Aren't you glad the holidays are over? Amen. Amen. They're good, but sometimes they go for a long time. Praise God. It's good to have company, but it's also good to see them go. Oh, praise the Lord. Everybody have an outline this morning. Who needs an outline? Anybody need one? Everybody got one. Everybody got a pencil, pen. Do a little writing. But anyway, kind of, Lorraine, what you're talking about, I'm going to, on the same line of what I'm going to be talking about here. But this morning, the title of my message is Being Obedient on God's Terms. Amen? We're in a day and age now that we have to change some things up in our life. Let me say this. God is doing a purification in the body. You're either going to be a part of the purification or you're not. Now, what do I mean by that? That means you can either fight God and be what you want to be and do what you want to do, or you can go after God. Amen? That's what God's doing. He's getting his people ready. He's changing it up. Things that we were allowed that we thought we could do, you can't do anymore. How many have found out that God is putting his finger on some things in our lives? And we've got to be obedient on his terms, or I can just do it my way. But it's happening. Things are changing. And God is a holy God, a righteous God. And we're going to talk a little bit about this, but let's pray. Holy Spirit, take these words, put them into our hearts. Change us from glory to glory. Let us No, Lord, if there's areas of our lives that we need to surrender to you, even if it's painful sometimes, Lord, change it up in us. Help us to be ready for the coming of Jesus. We thank you and we praise you for what you're doing in our lives and that you're changing us from glory to glory. Thank you, Father. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Bible clearly teaches us the importance of obedience to God and obedience to God's word. The problem is, however, that sometimes we prefer obedience on our terms rather than God's terms. And you know what? We've all done that. None of us are excused from that. Therefore, we become what you call good at making excuses instead of obeying what God's told us to do. Now listen. God may be speaking to you about some things in your life that you're not giving into. How many know what I'm talking about? Sometimes God has to take a 2x4, spiritual 2x4, and hit me over the head and say, "Are you listening?" To be obedient to what he's saying in these end times and in our lives. But when we obey God and we do what he tells us to do, here's some things we can learn. Write this down. The first thing we can learn is having God's presence in our lives takes care of our own insecurity or lack of self-confidence. Having God's presence in our lives. And you know, the presence of God is getting stronger and stronger in this place. How many notice that when you walk in, God's presence is getting strong? The gates are opened. Things are happening. But there's some things that we need to be ready so that God can do some great and mighty things, not only in this church or the other churches, but in our hearts. So we're going to talk about Moses today. Moses was obedient, but at the same time, Moses was just as human as you and I. So let's look at Exodus 3:11. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out from Egypt?" So he said, "I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on the mountain." Now, when you look at this, let me give you a little background. Moses was the son of Pharaoh. But at the same time, his mother raised Pharaoh, but he was also raised in Pharaoh's household. So Moses learned the things of Pharaoh, but he also, I believe, his mother taught him the things of the Hebrew God. And so Moses was brought up that way. So Moses decided that he was going to stop a conflict between two Hebrew brothers and get in there and stop the conflict. But anyway, what happened is eventually he killed a person and buried him in the sand. And Moses fled for his life, and he fled into the wilderness. And then Moses was tending sheep on the backside of the desert for 40 years. Now listen, he hadn't heard from God in 40 years. He's tending sheep for his father-in-law. And so he would take him up to the mountains and from the valleys and take him up in the area where there was better grass. And he was doing this 40 years. See, here's the thing with Moses. Moses thought his life was over, in a sense. He killed somebody. He's away from his family. Can you imagine how he felt? And for 40 years, he's tending sheep. Now, see, God doesn't waste pain. But he uses things in our lives to get us ready for something greater. No matter what we face, no matter what we go through, God is getting Moses ready. See, Moses may feel like, you know, he's washed up. He's never going to be used of God. I mean, he had everything he could have ever wanted in Pharaoh's household, everything. But he chose to serve God. Now, I'm not saying that Moses didn't pray or whatever, but it's amazing how God finally responds to Moses. So Moses goes up into the mountains and he sees a burning bush. And the Bible says that Moses went over to the burning bush, and then God spoke. It amazes me that what if Moses would have never walked over to the burning bush? Would he have missed God? Now think about this. Sometimes we can miss God because we're not paying attention. We're not listening. We're not obedient to see some of the things that God is speaking to and through into our lives. So all of a sudden, Moses goes over, and then God speaks and begins to tell Moses his job and his commission. Now, in response to God's command, Moses expresses his unworthiness. Well, how would he feel? He killed somebody. He fled the Pharaoh. He's in the wilderness, basically hiding in a sense, tending sheep. And what he didn't realize, by tending sheep, he would have 2.5 million other sheep to take care of. So God was teaching him, whether Moses knew it or not. So he says to God, "Who am I?" It's a question that many of us have expressed, and an excuse that many that us have hidden behind sometimes. And sometimes we begin to justify why we can't. When God says you can do all things through him in Christ. So Moses, God's talking to Moses. Here's the God of the universe that's talking to Moses. And Moses said, "Who am I?" You talked about insecure in his life, not feeling like he's worthy, feeling like everything is over, feeling like God could never use him again. And people have felt like that. There's people that have gone through things in their life, they felt like they were they're a castaway. That God can never use them again. But see, God always has plan A. He always has plan A. And God never forgets his plan. So, he says this, "Who am I?" when you think about it, we were, and sometimes people, all of us, feel that we're not deserving of anything from God. But it's by God's grace that we get what we get. It's by His grace and His mercy. Sometimes we find ourselves in a place that God is so splendor, He's so magnificent and holy, but yet God chooses to use us in spite of our insecurity. God declared to Moses, He said, I will be with you. No matter what excuse Moses had, God said, I'm going to be with you. No matter what God asked of you, God backs it up. I will be with you all the way. Trust me. Trust me. God's unfailing character is shown by who He is. He is El Shaddai. The first time that God ever said that He is El Shaddai is when God told Abraham and Sarah they'd have a child. Abraham's getting old. He's close to 100. Sarah's getting older. And she says, you know what, honey? I think you should marry Hagar and, you know what, have a child through her. You know, let's help God out. So they have a child and name him Ishmael. And they settled for Ishmael when God says, no, Isaac's the promised seed. And because of Ishmael, we've had problems in the world today because of that getting ahead of God. Why settle for an Ishmael when you can have an Isaac, the promised seed? So when that happened, God never spoke to Abraham for 13 years. 13 years. Can you imagine? God's silent. I'm wondering if God said, you know what, Abraham? Figure it out and try to do it yourself, and it ain't going to happen. Finally, when God spoke to him, the first thing He said to Abraham, I am El Shaddai. It's a reminder of who El Shaddai is. Let's look at this. El Shaddai means the Almighty One, possessing all power, the All-Sufficient One, who possesses all the resources that He has for us in heaven. That means that God can do anything He wants to do in your life because He is powerful. He owns heaven. He can bring the resources of heaven to you for everything you need. In God's presence, there is no circumstance that can destroy our security or our confidence in Him, because God is all-powerful. Let's look at Hebrews 6:18. It says, and by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope that is set before us. This hope we have is an anchor of our soul, both sure and steadfast. See, when all hope is lost, there's God. When everything seems to be going wrong, there's God. When you feel like it's you're the end of your rope, there's God. When you feel like you can't go on, there's God. There's God. And He says this, the hope we have as an anchor of our soul, both sure and steadfast, in which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become a high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. So we know that no matter what, our hope and steadfastness is in God. And Moses realized that God was showing him, Moses, I am El Shaddai, I'm all these things to you, I have everything you need to do what you need to do for me. And all God was asking for was obedience. Obedience, He'd take care of the rest. Write this down, number two. Understanding God's authority will get rid of confusion in our lives. How many have ever been confused? I like that. Faith is not to know what the future holds, but who holds the future. Amen. Oh, Lorreen, thank you. Nice and hot. Exodus 3:1. Let's move on. But Moses protested. If I go to the people of Israel and tell them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, they will ask me, what is his name? Then what should I tell them? God replied to Moses, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the people of Israel, Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my eternal name, my name to remember for all generations. Now, when you look at the word I am, it means to be, to become, to come to pass, or to exist. The Hebrew word is Yah, which means God used this when making covenants and giving promises to his people. He is I am. Muhammad can't say I am. He was. Amen. He no longer is. But I am is eternal. And so he says, tell them that I am sent you. Now remember this. The Hebrews have been in bondage for 400 years. You and I know that there are those grandfathers, those fathers, that had raised their family somewhere. There was still the tradition to be who they were. I don't think it was all gone. I think that there was people that still remembered that there was one God. And his name is Yahweh. And so it wasn't so much that the people may not have remembered if there was a God that called himself Yahweh, as much as Moses had been so far removed that he didn't think that these people would even hear a word he was saying. I think his had more to do with insecurity than they had to do with not knowing who God was. So, it emphasizes God's self-existence. So when we see the word I am, it means self-existence and unchangeableness of God. Jesus said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. God does not change. So, when we look at this, he reveals himself to Moses as I am that I am. That is, I am the one who is. It was this name, in fact, that God chose as his personal name, Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh, which we say Yahweh. Well, the Jews today, traditional Jews, will not use the word Yahweh. They'll use B'Shem, but they won't say the name of God because not so much that they're afraid of God, but I think it has to do more with respect and honor that they don't want to get the name wrong. So they're scared to say the name. Now, you and I don't even think anything of it. We'll just say Yahweh. But if you were to say that around some of the people, they would look at you in Israel. How dare you say that name when we don't say that name? But they'll say B'Shem, which means the name. See what I'm saying? So we have every right to say Yahweh because of who he is and what Jesus has done in our lives. So the name means self-existing eternal one. Everybody say that. self-existing eternal one. When he said, I am, he said, I am the self-existing eternal one. Impressive, huh? Now, when you talk about Jesus, the word Yeshua, that we say Yeshua or Yahushua, it means self-existing eternal one who saves. So Jesus is the self-existing eternal one who saves, who heals, who delivers, who does everything that you need him to be in your life. The word I am says to be or to become. That means God will become and be everything that you need in your life and everything you're going through in your life. That's our God. To be, to become. He said, Moses, I'll be anything you need me to be because I'm God. Isn't that neat? Moses looked at God and God's declaring his name. And I wonder when Moses finally got the revelation. I think it's coming up. See, we live in a culture of confusion. It's hard to know truth from error without a reliable authority. Sometimes it's hard to know. Moses wanted to know what authority would or back him up. Back up his obedience. God says, I am who I am. Now, that's a legitimate question. If God speaks to you, how many of us ever said, well, Lord, I don't know? That's a big step of faith. I mean, God has called people in a mission field. And it better be God. And because the first thing you ask God and say, well, Lord, how am I going to go to the mission field? Who's going to pay for it? Or how am I going to get over there? And we begin to ask God all these things. We do the same thing Moses does in different areas of our lives when we're confronted with certain things. We're no different than Moses was. Moses wanted to know what authority. He said, I am who I am. God essentially said to Moses, I am who I have always been. And I am who I'll always be. I am the unchanging, infallible, all-powerful, awesome, and the only authority for now and for eternity. That's what he was telling Moses. Unless an individual surrenders to God's authority and makes the choice to obey God, sometimes he or she will hesitate in confusion. And then what happens is we begin to all make excuses why we can't. Well, I don't know if I can trust God for that. Look at Psalm 71:1. In you, O Lord, do I put my trust and confidently take refuge. Let me never be put to shame or what? Confusion. See, confusion isn't of God. It's of the enemy. And the enemy, he'll bring all sorts of confusion in your life why you shouldn't trust God. There isn't any of us here that have never been challenged. I mean, we've been challenged by the enemy. We've been challenged by people. You've been challenged to back off from God. Well, you know what? God, he understands, but you know what? You're just going to have to grin and bear it. Oh, okay. Don't pray for me, please. And that's what you feel like saying, you know. I want somebody to pray for me that's got faith, that's saying, hey, let's believe God because he is El Shaddai. He is every name that you could have him. He's Jehovah Rapha. He is our righteousness. Yahweh said, Canoe, you keep going down the list. Everything that God is to us, and that's what he wants to become for us. Write this down, number three. We can have God's strength to bring peace in the midst of worry. Gina, God's strength and peace in the midst of what you're going through. Just depend on that. Exodus 4:1-7. But Moses protested again. How many have ever been there? But God, you don't understand. You don't understand where I've been, what I did, what I've gone through. You just don't know. How many have ever told that to God? I did. You know, God, you just, hang on a second, you just don't understand what I've been through. You don't understand how I feel. You don't understand. Yeah, he understands. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows you inside and out. But Moses protested, and what if? See, the what if virus is coming now. He's got the what if virus. What if they won't believe me or listen to me? What if they say the Lord never appeared to you? Then the Lord asked him, what is that in your hand? A shepherd's staff, Moses replied. Throw it down on the ground, and the Lord told him. So Moses threw the staff down, and it turned into a snake. Moses jumped back. Are you kidding? Yeah, he jumped back. Then the Lord told him, reach out and grab it by the tail. So Moses reached out and grabbed it, and it turned back into a shepherd's staff in his hand. Now, how many have ever picked up a snake before? As a kid, I loved snakes. And you're going, there's something wrong with you. But on the farm, I would go snake hunting, my brother and I, and find every type of snake you could. And I'd read up on snakes, and we had a guy come to the school that would bring all these different snakes. I don't know how many times he got bit, but, you know, he's telling about what the doctors had to do when he got bit. And I thought, well, I'm going to see if I can find the tamer ones. So when you're going out trying to get a snake, you can grab them by the tail, but sometimes they can turn around and they can bite you. He's asking Moses to do something that I probably would say, I wouldn't grab them by the tail. But a lot of the times you watch, like, National Geographic, what do? They grab them by the tail, which is the poisonous ones. They'll grab them by the tail, but they don't hang on too long. I've seen them pick them up in the middle with a staff or something like that. But grab them by the tail, it doesn't take much for them to come around and bite you. But I was always told you grab them behind the head where they can't bite you. And that's what I did. I'd sneak up on them, you know, and they'd just be looking, and I'd grab them behind him. Now, one time I grabbed too low, and I got bit by a milk snake, good-sized milk snake, about 4 or 5 times on my hand. And I thought, I'm not letting you go. And I had that thing in a little, you draw a little blood. They weren't poisonous. And I thought, I got you, and I moved my hand up where the head was. But that thing bit fast. I mean, it bit me and scared me, too. So why do you think Moses jumped back? I jumped back, too. So anyway, when you look at this, he said, pick it up by the tail. God knows what he's doing. He said, perform this sign, the Lord told him. Then they will believe that the Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, really has appeared to you. And in verse 6, he says, then the Lord said to Moses, now put your hand inside your cloak. So Moses puts his hand inside his cloak, and when he took it out, his hand was white as snow with severe skin disease or leprosy, the Bible says. Now put your hand back into your cloak, the Lord said. So Moses put his hand back in, and when he took it out again, it was as healthy as the rest of his body. Now, when you read after this, Moses kept asking God again. This time God got mad. He's asking again. When you see a miracle that God does, wouldn't it kind of convince you that God is behind you? Right? But how many of us sometimes, we've seen God do some great things, but when it comes to us, we're going, well, Lord, you know, we hesitate. See, Moses was not completely convinced that he should take God's assignment. Moses began to declare the what ifs. What if they won't believe me? What if they don't listen to me? What if they say, Lord never appeared to you? What if they say this? What if they say that? And he begins to go down the list. Now, when we begin to question God, we are already walking in fear. Did you hear me? We're already walking in fear, and we're bringing ourselves into more frustration and more worry in our lives. When God's promises are yes and amen. Now, God, however, boldly demonstrated his power by turning Moses' staff into a serpent. If God can change worms into butterflies, tadpoles into frogs, and snakes into sticks, he has the power to handle anything that you and I face every day of our life. Why should we worry about what God can accomplish? Why should we worry when we try to do it in our own strength, when we know that we have all the power available to us, everything we need? Look at Ephesians 1:19. And how very great is his power at work in us who believe. This power working in us is the same as the mighty strength. Now, the Passion says this: my prayer for you is that every moment you will experience the measureless power of God made available to you through faith. Then your lives will be an advertisement of the immense power as it works through you. Now, when I read that, I'm looking at that, and it says, my prayer for you is that every moment you will experience the measureless power of God made available to you through faith. Do you know what that tells me? I'm not tapping in all that God has. It's not God's fault. It's my fault. Audie Claremont's fault. When I don't tap into what God has for me, whatever I'm facing, whatever I'm going through, it's not his fault, it's mine. How many know what I'm saying? We have everything available to us that God wants to give us to do what he called us to do, no matter what obedience that is. Then he says, then your lives will be an advertisement of the immense power as it works through you. Do people see God working through my life? Or am I just the same as I was yesterday, and I'll be the same today and forever? No. God, people will see the changes. They'll see the power of God in your life. They'll see your attitude. They'll see your character. They will see God, the way you present yourself, the way you speak, the way you look at things from a different perspective. They will begin to see the power of God, how it has changed you, even through the midst of the toughest situation you may have gone through, whether it's sickness or disease or something, and they've seen you come through that. That's the power of God. That's the power of God that God says that you can operate in every day of your life. The last point, write this down. God's provision covers our insufficiency or lack. God's provision. Now, this is where Moses pleads with God. It's like he's not getting it. God is showing him everything, telling him everything, telling him who he is, and he's still questioning God. Boy, I've done that. Exodus 4:10. But Moses pleaded with the Lord, "Oh Lord, I'm not very good with words. I never have been, and I'm not now. Even though you have spoken to me, I get tongue-tied and my words get tangled." Now, remember something. He learned the language of Egypt. Moses did. Do you think his mother was teaching him the language, the Hebrew, but yet he was learning the language of the Egyptians? So Moses, some people said that Moses stuttered, this, that, but I believe that Moses understood both languages. And sometimes when you're on the backside of the desert 40 years, you can lose some things. How many know what I'm talking about? How many ever taken a language in school and you're learning a language? How many of you know that language now from high school? The only one I know is no tengo dinero. No, I have no money. I remember when my brother went to language school down in McAllen, Texas. He's going to go to the mission field. And I went down to visit him at the King's Bible College down there. And they were learning the language. And when I went down there, he goes, "You haven't learned anything from high school, and you know more Spanish than I do." And we're out there talking, and then all this stuff came back to me from high school. And so I'm talking Spanish to the people and different things, and he goes, "I've been going to school for 2 or 3 years, and you know more than I do." Oh, well. But can you imagine Moses? He just twists his words around. He needs help. Now, Aaron, his brother, was not raised in Pharaoh's house. Miriam and Aaron were probably raised with mama. They were taught. Moses was raised in the house of Pharaoh. So it would be easy for him to have a problem trying to bring things out or say certain things. That's just a thought, okay? That's just a thought. Then the Lord asked Moses, verse 11, "Who makes a person's mouth? Who decides whether the people speak or do not speak, hear or do not hear, see or do not see? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will be with you as you speak, and I will instruct you in what to say." But Moses again pleaded, "Lord, please send anyone else." Then the Lord became angry. Do you think so, Donoso? Really? "Send somebody else." Then the Lord became angry. "All right," he said. "What about your brother, Aaron the Levite? I know he speaks well. And look, he's on his way to meet you now. He will be delighted to see you." It's like God already had it set up. He's like knowing what Moses is going to do. "Talk to him and put the words in his mouth. I will be with both of you as you speak, and I will instruct you both in what to do. Aaron will be your spokesman to the people. He will be your mouthpiece. And you will stand in the place of God for him, telling him what to say." So when you really think about it, what Moses said in his heart, you know what? He would rather be excused. You know what, Lord? Can I just bow out of this one? How many have ever tried to bow out from God? You know what, Lord? There, you want that person there. I remember in college one time, the Lord was speaking during the chapel service. And the Lord spoke to my brother, and he told me this later, and said, "I want you to go to the mission field." And my brother Rodney says, and he tells me this, "Lord, my brother's down there. Ask him." So when I saw him, I said, no, Rodney. He didn't ask me to go to the mission field. He asked you to go to the mission field. And he kept saying, "No, Lord, my brother's down there. Have him go." He said, "No, I want you to go." So anyway, they got it straightened up. So besides, Moses would rather tell God about the other leader he needs for the assignment. "Lord, I just want to be excused out of this." God had answered Moses' every doubt. God had explained the assignment, the job he had for Moses, but Moses felt inadequate as a spokesman. And sometimes, people, we feel inadequate. Let me close with this. 2 Corinthians 3:5. "By ourselves, we're not qualified in any way to claim that we can do anything. Rather, God makes us qualified." Turn to somebody and say, "God made you qualified." See, you can't get out of that. God makes us qualified. He has also qualified us to be ministers of the new promise. Everyone in here is a minister of the gospel in some way. The Passion says, yet we don't see ourselves as capable enough to do anything in our own strength, for our true competence flows from God's empowering presence. He alone makes us adequate ministers who are focused on the entire new covenant. So what God is saying, people, is that it's not about us. It's about Him. It doesn't matter where you've been, what you did, how you failed, and what happened, or this didn't happen, or didn't go right, and God, you never can use me because I'm so messed up. God says it's not about your adequacy. It's about mine. And God calls the unqualified, and He qualifies those that are called. That's how God does it. And that's what He was telling Moses. Moses, I can back you up. He thought being persuasive or silver-tongued was the quality God looked for in Moses. But he learned that obedience was the desirable quality God expected. See, God is not looking for perfection. He's not looking for us to just say, well, Lord, hang on a second. Let me line up here real quickly. Give me a few days until I get it together. And then I'll get back with you. No. God wants you the way you are so that He can train you up the way you should be. God wants to take you just where you're at, and He wants to use you for His glory. Whether it's ministering to your friends, God wants to use that. And you say, well, Pastor, I don't know scriptures. I don't know how to quote that, this and that. Tell them about what God did for you. That's the greatest testimony you could ever tell somebody. Al could go to somebody and say, God, this is what God did to me, healed me. This is what God brought me through. And you begin to share with them the testimony that God did for you. The healing, Brenda, that you got when psoriasis and the doctor said, yeah, you're not going to ever have them. Have them all your life. You got healed of all those. That's the greatest testimony that we have is what God has done in our life. Well, let me tell you about what God did for me. You don't have to know the Bible inside and out. I'm telling you, it's good to study. It's good to get into the Word, and it's good to get some scriptures. But God will give you what you need to say. He will be your spokesman for your mouth. Because the Holy Spirit says He'll give you the words to speak. So Moses finally realized that God was not impressed with anything about Moses' inadequacy or his speech or anything else. He just wanted Moses to say, yes, Lord, I will be obedient. What if I wasn't obedient to God? God says, no, you're not going to pastor in Colorado. Well, Lord, there's skiing. There's snow. I love to ski. You're going to Ovid. What's an Ovid? Like I said, I had to look on the map. B9. A3. I still couldn't find it. Let me try this again. A12, B9. There it is. Well, Lord, you don't understand. I like it here. Are you going to be obedient? Yes, sir. I'll be obedient. And I got to meet you lovely people. God provided Aaron to help Moses, but He didn't allow Moses to excuses to deter his call of obedience. He'll send people to help you. He just wants you to be obedient. Write this last point. Sometimes God puts us in places where we would rather not be. How many have ever been there? God allows you to be in places you'd rather not be. in order to grow us to the place where we should be. Amen? That's God. Let me ask you a question. Are you obedient to even the little things that God has spoken to you? Are you making excuses? Well, I can't, Lord. I'm not good enough. I'm not educated enough. I don't know if I can do it. Or are we just going to say, you know, Lord, I don't understand it. I don't know how you're going to do it. But I know you are God and you know everything. I will be obedient. People, begin to be obedient in the little things. And when you make a habit of being obedient, even in the little things, you watch what God will do in the bigger things. He will always back you up. He will always have your back. He will always have heaven's resources for everything that you need to do. All he wants to do is hear, yes, sir, I'll do it. No questions. Yes, sir, I'll do it. Lord, I will go. I'll just do it. And when you step out, God will be there in every area that you're praying, that you're believing, that God calls you to do. Let's pray. Oh, Keith, you want to come and close us in another song? As Keith's getting ready, I just want to challenge you this morning, people. We serve a great God. God's not mad at you. God's in love with you. But he just wants our obedience. Every day when you get up, you should say, yes, sir, what do you have for me today, Lord? Amen. Well, I want you to talk to so-and-so. All right, Lord, I don't know what to say, but give me the words. God might just little tiny things speak to your heart. Will we be willing to be obedient and trust him?
Hurting and broken within, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin, Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open.
The altar's open, people.
Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, Savior. Isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Bow down before him, for he is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Oh, Father, we thank you. This morning, I just want everybody to just bow your head. I want to give an opportunity. If you've never made Jesus Lord of your life and you never invited him in to be your Savior, this is the greatest day to do it. Every day is a good day. Maybe you felt unworthy, or you felt like, God, how could you ever love me? But I'm telling you, when Jesus went to the cross, he took care of everything for you. God wants you to come just the way you are. And he will do the rest. But maybe you're here this morning and say, Pastor, I would like Jesus to come in my heart. I'm not going to call you up here. I just want you to be obedient in that small thing again. If that's what you want, I just want to see your hand. Pray for me because I need to make a decision. I want to go to heaven. I want to spend eternity. Time is close. Anybody that says, I need Jesus. Anybody. I want to give you that opportunity. If you're holding back, God will help you. Now, I'm going to ask one more question because I want us to pray for you. Is there something that you've said, Lord, I've been disobedient, and you know God's speaking, but you kind of made every excuse why? If that's you, I just want to see your hand real quick. Anybody? Don't be afraid. Come on, we're in this together. But I just want to pray. I'm not calling you up here and say, but you right now, you know God is dealing with you about some things and you've been fighting them. God says just to be obedient, just to trust him. Father, this morning we come together as your believers and we thank you for everything you've done for us. Lord, we thank you for the privilege and honor of serving you. You are God. And Father, we trust you that you have everything taken care of as we put our faith in you. This morning, Father, we surrender those things. We release those things that maybe is holding us back. We give them to you in obedience so that we will see major breakthroughs in our life. So, Father, we thank you and we worship you and we give you glory for all the things you're doing and you're going to continue to do. Holy Spirit, help us to be obedient, even in the little things. When we're faithful in the little, you make us faithful over much. Thank you for your strength this morning. Thank you for your power, your glory, to do what you called us to do. So, Father, we thank you for all these things we give you honor, and we give you glory, and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Give the Lord praise. Come on. Father, thank you. Thank you.